To be a woman in America at the close of the 20th century. What good fortune. That's what we keep hearing anyway. The barricades have fallen, politicians assure us. Women have made it, Madison Avenue cheers. Women's fight for equality has largely been won, Time magazine announces. Enroll at any university, join any law firm, apply for credit at any bank. Women have so many opportunities now, corporate leaders say, that we don't really need equal opportunity policies. Women are so equal now, lawmakers say, that we no longer need an Equal Rights Amendment. Women have so much, former President Ronald Reagan says, that the White House no longer needs to appoint them to higher office. Even American Express ads are saluting a woman's freedom to charge it. At last, women have received their full citizenship papers. And yet, behind this celebration of the American women's victory, behind the news, cheerfully and endlessly repeated, that the struggle for women's rights is won, another message flashes. You may be free and equal now, it says to women, but you have never been more miserable. This bulletin of despair is posted everywhere, at the newsstand, on the TV set, at the movies, in advertisements and doctor's offices and academic journals. Professional women are suffering burnout and succumbing to an infertility epidemic. Single women are grieving from a man shortage. The New York Times reports childless women are depressed and confused, and their ranks are swelling. Newsweek says unwed women are hysterical and crumbling under a profound crisis of confidence. The health advice manuals inform high-powered career women are stricken with unprecedented outbreaks of stress-induced disorders, hair loss, bad nerves, alcoholism, and even heart attacks. The psychology books advise independent women's loneliness represents a major mental health problem today. Even founding feminist Betty Friedan has been spreading the word. She warns that women now suffer from a new identity crisis and new problems that have no name. How can American women be in so much trouble at the same time that they are supposed to be so blessed? If the status of women has never been higher, why is their emotional state so low? If women got what they asked for, what could possibly be the matter now? The prevailing wisdom of the past decade has supported one and only one answer to this riddle. It must be all that equality that's causing all that pain. Women are unhappy precisely because they are free. Women are enslaved by their own liberation. They have grabbed at the gold ring of independence, only to miss the one ring that really matters. They have gained control of their fertility only to destroy it. They have pursued their own professional dreams and lost out on the greatest female adventure. The women's movement, as we are told time and again, has proved women's own worst enemy. In dispensing its spoils, women's liberation has given my generation high incomes, our own cigarette, the option of single-parent parenthood, rape crisis centers, personal lines of credit, free love, and female gynecologists. Mona Charon, a young law student, writes in the National Review in an article titled "The Feminist Mistake." In return, it has effectively robbed us of one thing upon which the happiness of most women rests: men. The National Review is a conservative publication, but such charges against the women's movement are not confined to its pages. Our generation was the human sacrifice to the women's movement, Los Angeles Times feature writer Elizabeth Marin contends in a Time cover story. Baby boom women like her, she says, have been duped by feminism. We believed the rhetoric. In Newsweek, writer Kay Ebeling dubs feminism the great experiment that failed and asserts women in my generation, its perpetrators, are the casualties. Even the beauty magazines are saying it. Harper's Bazaar accuses the women's movement of having lost us women ground instead of gaining it.